to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown, here with co-host Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we'll be bringing you the political commentary and humor of Jim Hightower, recorded at the New Chautauqua. But first, these updates.
Trade Watch, the AFL-CIO, Sierra Club, and Ranking House Democrats have all issued urgent statements this week regarding House Ways and Means Committee Chair Bill Thomas's trade legislation, which would pass through fast track in a vote which would come as early as the end of this week. Trade Watch and other groups say Thomas's bill, H.R. 3005, gives no real protections for labor and the environment and deprives Congress of an effective role in trade policymaking. Sierra Club's executive director, Carl Pope, issued a letter October 3rd urging rejection of Thomas's fast-track bill. Quote, the Thomas fast-track bill would expand controversial investor rules that empower foreign corporations to sue over our environmental laws. Investor provisions in the North American Free Trade Agreement are already being used to discourage countries from adopting badly needed protections for the environment. An expansion of similar investor rules, which Thomas proposes, would vastly increase lawsuits against our environmental laws at a potential cost to taxpayers in the billions of dollars. Concerns in a letter recently issued by Ranking House Democrats Charles Rangel, Sander Levin, and Roberts Matsu attack the Thomas bill and offer an alternative approach. Their concerns include the bill's lax labor standards, which ignore the five core ILO standards, including right to associate and bargain collectively, and bans on child labor, lax environmental protections, including no concrete steps to integrate multilateral environmental agreements with trade agreements, and the role of Congress in trade agreements. The letter states a more enhanced role, not just consultation, is needed, and, quote, is more essential than ever in light of the increasing importance of trade and its impact on traditional domestic issues such as health and safety and antitrust. In today's National Journal's Congress Daily AM, Rules Chairman Dreyer vowed his committee would clear the bill for a floor vote quickly. The Emergency Committee for American Trade, the National Association of Manufacturers, and the Business Roundtable all praised Thomas's bill. Thomas has said his bill is designed for what he marks as a new era in trading. Representative Lloyd Doggett, Democrat of Texas, writes, quote, he has led other members in refusing to offer support for legislation that leaves intact the investor protections covered in Chapter 11 of NAFTA. The AFL-CIO has restarted a toll-free number that allows the public to call Congress to voice opposition to H.R. 3005. That number is 1-800-393-1082. For more information on fast-track and trade issues, you can contact www.tradewatch.org.
According to activists working on political prisoner issues, in the wake of the attacks on September 11th, federal authorities have severely restricted the most basic civil rights of a number of political prisoners. The Pro Libertad Freedom Campaign reported on Indy Media Monday that several political prisoners were put in isolation, held incommunicado, and denied access to their lawyers and religious advisors following the attacks. Authorities refused to give any specific reason for this punitive action, although in some cases vague statements of for their own protection were made. As of Monday, a few of the political prisoners, including Philip Berrigan, Tom Manning, and Marilyn Buck, had been released back into the general population. Our attempts to get a more recent update have been unsuccessful. Activists say they believe this is an omen of things to come, and that by defending the rights of these imprisoned activists, they are defending civil liberties for us all. They are encouraging people to contact Attorney General John Ashcroft and the Federal Bureau of Prisons to express concern. For that contact information, get in touch with us here at Radioactive.
John Rensenbrink and other representatives of the Maine Green Independent Party will be speaking at a town meeting-style forum Thursday, October 4th, 7 p.m., at the Ellsworth City Hall Auditorium. This is called Building a New Political Party by Becoming a Candidate. For more information about becoming a candidate, please call 767-3761 or email greenindependent@hotmail.com.
The Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine will be holding a peace gathering on Sunday, October 7th from 2 to 4 at the Hammond Street Church. The gathering is planned to coincide with a national New York peace march that's being called by the National Coalition for Peace and Justice, which represents the nation's largest peace organizations. Local poets and musicians will share talents, their talents in order to help the community mourn the tragic events of September 11th. to affirm the commitment to justice, peace, respect for diversity and civil liberties, and the need for solutions dealing with root causes of violence in the face of terrorism and talk of war. Ilza Peterson of the Peace and Justice Center says, quote, "There have been so many vigils, rallies, teach-ins, letters to the editor, and op-eds expressing the desire to have the terrible events of September 11th lead to an end to the cycle of violence. This event will help strengthen our commitment to working together for peaceful solutions to conflicts and help us explore ways to collaborate in a variety of ways in the future," end quote. After the music and poetry, there will be an opportunity from 4 to 5 p.m. to discuss future ways to continue to work for peace with justice in our region. More than 600 signatures have already been gathered on a petition circulated by the Peace and Justice Center, which will be sent to President Bush and which may also be delivered to the main congressional delegation. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, call 942-9343.
Star Wars Returns, a documentary film by Carl Grossman, will be shown on Saturday, October 6th at 3 p.m. at the Hutchinson Center Auditorium in Belfast. Star Wars Returns is a film about the Pentagon's vision for 2020 and the theater and ballistic missile defense systems proposed by the Bush administration. A discussion will follow the film, sponsored by the Peace and Justice Group of Waldo County and the Unitarian Universalist Church in Belfast. For more information, call 338-4776.
Jim Hightower, a political commentator with an often humorous approach, can be heard here on WERU Monday through Friday mornings at 11 and occasionally on Old Woodstock on Tuesday nights. On September 20th, he was in Unity, Maine for the kickoff of the new Chautauqua tour. The following is an excerpt from his talk that night. Be advised that he does use one or two words that some people might find objectionable.
You come together this weekend, of course, this autumn equinox, actually, at a somber and dangerous time in our society, a time of madmen and bushmen. The assault of September 11th by a terrorist would be worry enough for us, but our worries are hardly limited to murderous foreign zealots. Rather, we citizens of the United States of America, we freedom-loving patriots, now must rise to the danger posed by our own political and media elites, who in raw reaction are threatening the democratic principles and ideals that protect you and me and the very idea of America. Unfortunately, George W. Bush's inner frat boy is coming out in these last several days. "We're going to whoop him," he says. "We're going to smoke him out. Wanted dead or alive. Said it was a crusade." He had to take that one back. This is the guy who used family connections back in the 1960s to keep from going to Vietnam, now beating his breast like a bloodthirsty warrior. Of course, he personally will not be going to the front, nor will any of his family members. Congress, as Richard was pointing out, has shamed itself in its rush to do something. First thing it did was to suspend the War Powers Act, abdicating its authority. Then it gave George W. Bush $20 billion in our money to use at his discretion. Now it's even caving in on Star Wars. Said, yes, we must have the missile defense shield. The Democrats are backing off, said, well, we can't fight him on that. Missile defense shield, as a friend of mine said, we need a box cutter shield. Seems to me. We could call it by its acronym, BS. Even some members of Congress up on their hind legs saying, by gollies, we need to rush through fast track now. You see why we need it. Plus, they want a capital gains tax cut. Said that's needed in response to the terrorist attacks, even though 80% of that money will go to the wealthiest 2% in the country. Meanwhile, what the Congress has done is taken our Constitution and crumpling it like so much waste paper. The Office of Homeland Security, Bush proposed last night, got lusty cheers from Democrats as well as Republicans. They want new authority for wiretaps, internet surveillance, profiling, assassinations. They say we must unleash the CIA. When exactly was it leashed? And worse, they say that we've got a shutdown protest in America. There's a guy, great singer-songwriter out of Lubbock, Texas, Butch Hancock is his name. He said that when he grew up in Lubbock, going to the Church of Christ, he was taught that sex is the filthiest, most disgusting thing that there is, and you should save it for someone you love. Not sure quite how this relates, but it's kind of what they're saying about democracy. It's a beautiful thing, but don't you dare try to ever use it. David Obey, our friend, member of Congress out of Wisconsin, said last week, it is times like this when the political system produces some of the craziest results and the biggest mistakes. Well, it's also times like this when patriots must step forth and say no to power. And that's not easy, I know. Not easy at all. Voltaire once said, it's dangerous to be right when your government is wrong. But we're in one of those times. I'm proud to say, however, we have leaders on our side. Us. We are the leaders. And that's the only place to look for leadership. Within yourself, to the people sitting next to you, to your family, to your friends, people in churches, in the workplace. We've got to be talking to people now more than ever. And the good news is the kids are out front yet again. We have so much to learn from the kids today, filled with idealism and spirit and daring. And they're already out there, 146 campuses yesterday, with protests against this madness that is going on. If you want to look for leaders, follow the kids. They know where they're going. We need your citizen activism more than ever before. No longer enough for us to be progressive in this country. We've been progressive a long time. It's time to become aggressive again, because the powers that be are radically regressive, running roughshod over everyone who stands in their way of another dollar bill. George Bernard Shaw said about 100 years ago, you don't make progress by standing your guard, but by attacking and getting well hammered yourself. Now, the fact that I used to be 6'5" will give you some idea of some of the fights that I've been in. But now is the time for any American, indeed any citizen of the world who believes in democracy, to act on it. Because we are in another of those when in the course of human events moments that Thomas Jefferson wrote about in the Declaration of Independence, another usurpation of power. Usurpation of power that we the people are to wield. And over the decades, we the people have had to stand against these usurpations. Grossman mentioned the populace as being the true grassroots rebels who understood democracy. That is so true, battling the robber barons of their day, but doing more than negative fighting, building new institutions, cooperatives, financing systems, media outreach techniques and outlets, and taking on the powers. That populist spirit has been alive throughout our democracy. And Richard, in that great book that he's got out now, this will give you the history, as Howard Zinn has also done some of. In my state of Texas, Ronnie Duggar, soon to come up here from my state as well. The original founders of that state not only made it almost impossible to create a corporation, they actually, in the first state constitution, outlawed banks. You were not allowed to create a bank in the state of Texas, and I think they were onto something at that time. Well, the good news is the people are revolting, in the good sense of that term. All across America, there's growing rebellions against this corporate usurpation of our democracy, the corporate effort to enthrone itself as our sovereign. Now, this rebellious push for a new people's democracy is coming from all parts of our land. And Kubiak was saying, I'm going to tell you how we get out of this. No, I'm not going to tell you how we get out of this, but I'm going to tell you what's getting us out of this, and that is the people themselves. Because democracy is coming, as the song puts it, and the rebellion is coming from Seattle, of course, where Susan DeMarco is here with me. We had our radio talk show at the time. We broadcasted for all 5 days from Protest Central in downtown Seattle. We saw what went on there, and we're never so proud of our country, never so proud of the people of our country, and particularly the young people in our country. A place where 50,000 uninvited guests turned up to turn the WTO's little private club into the Seattle Tea Party. And I tell you what, they opened a great old big can of kick-ass that they're not ever going to get a lid back on right there in Seattle in November of 1999. This rebellion is coming from working families who've been downsized, privatized, riffed and stiff, reduced to part-time, low-wage, no-benefit work, while the CEOs and the swells and the suites are getting fatter than butcher's dogs. I don't know if you noticed that, but the working families have. The rebellion comes from farm families that I've worked with over the years. I'm going to be proud to be over here at the Common Ground Fair tomorrow with some of those families. Families across our land have been mugged by corporate thugs in the marketplace and then abandoned by politicians whose idea of a good farm program seems to be hee-haw from what they've been putting on us here. Farm families that are building new alliances with consumers and environmentalists against the corporate powers, pushing for sustainable and organic agriculture practices, fighting the hog factories and other corporatizers of agriculture, and most importantly, rejecting Monsanto and the others who would turn our diets into Frankenfoods. That rebellion is real and it is live. It comes, especially as I say, from America's greatest and latest source of idealism, progressive energy, the young people who are on the move in groups like Students Against Sweatshops, the Coalition Against Hunger and Homelessness, the Ruckus Society, Eco Pledge, and so many, many more scrappy and sassy groups who aren't taking the old bullshit anymore. It comes, too, from consumers who are fed up with their HMOs and their bank. It comes from poor people, literally sick of living up against the toxic waste dump, while those who own the waste dump are in pristine neighborhoods. It comes from low-wage workers who are demanding and winning living wages all across America. It comes from the peace advocates who are sickened by the immoral child-killing embargo in Iraq, sickened by the ever-bloated Pentagon budget, soon to bloat yet again, and sickened by the testosterone-driven military adventures of presidents and Congress critters who never themselves have to get shot at. This rebellion is coming, too, from those who are disgusted with corrupt, coin-operated corporate government in our society that services the elites while it holds down the aspirations and dreams and abilities of the workaday majority. Our enemy is not one corporation over here, one corporation over there. It is not one industry's contamination of our drinking water or another's perversion of our lawmaking process that we must focus on. Rather, it is the corporation itself that now is worthy of our attention because it has reached too far. It has knocked down too many people. It has usurped too much power. We must fight piecemeal battles for getting the corrupt money out of our political system, for stopping some of the toxic pollution, et cetera, et cetera. But piecemeal battles cannot take the place of the focus that all of this must have, and that is the corporate entity itself. In every one of these people's revolts that I was just itemizing there, and so many more that are simmering and rolling toward a boil throughout our country, the central rallying cry comes down to this. Who the hell is going to be in charge? We the people are a handful of global greed heads. That's the fundamental question of democracy. It has always been asked. And now it is our duty to ask it again. Our task is not to lobby and plead in Washington for some new program, a few more dollars in a budget, or yet another regulation. I'm tired of talking to the puppets. I want to talk to the puppeteers for a change. I'm tired, too, of hearing from Washington politicians and too many of our own progressive groups that we need to back off, go slow, compromise, accept what the Washington leaders tell us is possible to achieve. We were told that for all 8 years of the Clinton administration, allegedly a Democrat. Now here comes George W. Bush, an absolute corporate wet dream. And still, We're being told. And after September 11th, louder and more insistent than ever that we must hunker down for a defensive battle. Don't raise your head. Bide your time. Accept what is possible. Sam Rayburn, former Speaker of the House from an area of Texas where I grew up, said there's no education in the second kick of a mule. We've been kicked. Once, twice, many, many times. Ultimately, we've got to realize that we have the power, that progress is not something to be awaited, as William Jennings Bryan said, it's something to be achieved. We don't need Washington leaders to tell us what's possible to achieve. What's possible is what the people say we can achieve, because the power is in the people themselves. Patti Smith has a great song. People have the power to dream, to rule, to wrestle the world from fools. And that's exactly our challenge as we gather here and as we go forth from this weekend of activity to build a new grassroots little d democratic movement so that ordinary people can take their country back again, back from the spoilers and speculators, the greedheads and boneheads, the bankers and bosses, the big shots and bastards who are running roughshod over all of us. Now, the good news that I can bring you is that as I travel America, my political adventures, and talk to folks on the radio and get reaction to my books and newsletters and etc., I find that the people are ready, more than ready, eager, wondering where we are. Let's get something going. Let's take this country back. And by people, I mean all the people, not just the bean sprout eaters. Bunch of those snuff dippers out there, too, ready to go with us. If we'll get out there and begin to talk to them and begin to rally them and build something. The greatest thing about America is Americans. And we need not be afraid of them. Don't buy the establishment line that people only care about themselves, about making money. We're a people who have within our hearts and souls the deep values of our democracy, that economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity for all people. Sadly, too few people in power of either political party even willing to talk about those values anymore, much less attempting to implement any of them. Of course, our problem is I think we've got too many 5-watt bulbs and 100-watt sockets, if you know what I mean. But the issue is not what the politicians do, it's what you and I are going to do. Most of them will continue to serve the corporate class. Fine, the rich need representation. But what are we going to do? You and me will do exactly what you've come here to do. What Frederick Douglass told to a young man who approached him one time and said, "What should I do with my life?" And old man Douglass looked at him and said, "Agitate, agitate, agitate." We've got to do that, and then we've got to add the element that unions have taught us over the years, and that is organize, organize, organize. Because agitation without organization is frustration. Agitation with organization is victory. And that's what I'm interested in. We want to win. We want to take this country back from those greedheads. How are we going to do that? Well, first, we've got to decamp as a progressive movement out of Washington, D.C., where way too many of our resources, way too many of our people are hiding out, fighting that defensive battle. Get out of Washington and come to the countryside. Instead of spending 80% of our money in Washington, let's put 80% in the countryside. Then things will begin to change because we're investing in the people who actually have the democratic values in their heart and have the cojones to stand up and fight for those democratic values. This Chautauqua event tonight is the initial launching of something we're really going to kick off next January, the Rolling Thunder Down Home Democracy Tour, 12 cities in 12 months, groups from Acorn to Working Assets, from the National Council of Churches to Ruckus Society are teaming up with us to go into these communities with local groups putting on these events. The point of these Chautauqua events is that we don't need to create a progressive movement. It's already there. Just about every place that's got a zip code has got somebody, some group, standing up and fighting against this corporate concentration of power and the abuse that comes from it. The problem is we're not connected. People on one side of town don't know the people on the other side of town. Fighting for a living wage over here, fighting against toxic waste dump over there, but we don't get together. So let us just get together. Let's talk. Let's learn. Let's get to know each other. Celebrate our victories, but also let's have fun. So part of our how we're going to do this is we're going to get with the people themselves. And then, most importantly, and what this is all about, is not to have an event, but to build those coalitions among groups that are being told that they're enemies. Farmers against the laboring people against the environmentalists against minorities, Greens against the insurgent Democrats. We're not enemies, we're allies. Jesse Jackson put it, we might not all come over on the same boat, but we're in the same boat now. Yeah. That's a powerful political reality. So let's stop fighting each other. Let's stop looking side to side. And let's all begin to look up at who really has the power and who's dividing us. And let's go after that power rather than taking on each other. I'll leave you with this thought and turn you loose. It's from one of the great populists back in that populist period of the 1870s, 1880s, a woman out of Kansas named Mary Ellen Lees. She was known as the Kansas Pythoness for the power of her oratory at a time when women could not vote. She was on the political stump all across the Plains states, and she was talking to the corn farmers who had been ripped off by the railroad monopolies of that day, and she said to them, "It's time to raise less corn and more hell. Let's do that together." Thank you very much. Way to go, Maine.
That was Patti Smith with People Have the Power. That's all the time we have for today. For more information on the New Chautauqua, you can call David Kubiak at Big Medicine, 967-2390. Thank you to Helen York and Amy Brown for engineering today and production support, and Andy Buckley for web support. You can contact us at radioactivenews@hotmail.com or here at the station, 469-6600. Thank you for listening and acting.